the draw this year, if you will, the hook this year is reuniting almost every member of the legendary early 80s Hayden Fry coaching staff, and we happen to have one of them on the program with us now, Don Patterson, who wore many, many hats for Hayden Fry on his Hawkeye coaching staff, is with us now. And Coach, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. How excited and how much are you looking forward to getting most of the gang back together next Friday?
Well, Todd, first off, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate the chance to talk about next weekend. I'm very excited about it. In a word, I'm very excited. And the reason is kind of obvious. I honestly don't think that we've been together since 1983. I'm talking about getting us all together. And I regrettably have to say that Bill Snyder has a game that day, so Bill will not be in town for Fly Fest. And Barry Alvarez has got a hip replacement that he's recovering from, so we're going to be short a couple of guys. But otherwise, everyone will be back. It's going to be a lot of fun for us to reminisce about the good old days.
When you look back on 1983, and that picture has become pretty famous. I know at Coach's Corner in Iowa City, it's hanging on the wall. It's all over. Anytime ESPN talks about the coaching tree and Kirk Ferentz coming from Hayden Fry's coaching tree, they show that 83 staff photo. When you look back on that, did you realize that some of those guys on that staff were going to have the longevity in this game that they had? Yourself included. I mean, you were coaching right up until 2015.
Well, you're right. We all had one thing in common, that's for sure, Todd, and that was simply that we love the game. We love the opportunity to help young men become men. Coach Fry always wanted to establish the fact that if he had one particular skill, it was being able to hire the right people. And I think he did hire a lot of wonderful coaches. We didn't all come from big backgrounds in terms of reputation or anything, but we certainly worked well together. We meshed well together. I'm very proud of the fact, Todd, and you probably know this, that is still the fastest turnaround in Big Ten history to be able to go to the Rose Bowl in year three.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because in 78, you were with Hayden at North Texas. And then, I mean, Texas born and raised, Corsicana, Texas, hometown of country music legend Lefty Frizzell. I know that, and it's sort of sad that I do. But in 78, you're with North Texas. Hayden comes to Iowa in 79. What was the decision like for you to come along with him? Was there any trepidation to maybe leave the comfort of the Lone Star State behind to come to Iowa, this program that was in the doldrums of a 20-plus year run of mediocrity?
Well, Todd, to put it in perspective, you have to realize that as a kid growing up in Texas, I knew very well who Hayden Fry was. Even then, he was a coaching legend within the state, and a chance to work for him, of course, was an opportunity of a lifetime. I simply wanted to be a full-time coach. I was a graduate assistant back in 1978. And when the guys took off for Iowa, at that point, the best I could hope for is to become a full-time coach at North Texas. That did not happen. The next coach didn't know me from anyone. And I'll always be grateful to Bill Brazier in particular. I know that Bill in particular spoke up for me and said, "Coach, I think we need to invite Donnie to come with us." And at that point, I did come up. I'll never regret it. It changed my life, certainly. I met my wife here at the University of Iowa, and we have one daughter because Coach Fry gave me the opportunity to coach at Iowa. So, you know, it was just a rare opportunity on our part. I do remember when the discussion came up, we had a very good season in 1978, and we had three options then. Coach Fry had three options. He had the University of Iowa, he had Ole Miss, and he also had Oklahoma State. And Bill Brazier famously said in a staff meeting, "Well, I know one thing. If you win at Iowa, you only go to the best bowl game of all. I'm voting for Iowa." And that gives you an idea that we were not aware that Iowa had a string of, I believe at that point, 17 consecutive non-winning seasons. So off we went to Iowa, and we were fortunate. Back then it was known as the Big Two and the Little Eight, and it gave us a chance, of course, to move ahead of some teams in those early years. And Ohio State still couldn't believe that they had to share the title with us in 81. They claimed, Todd, that they would certainly have beaten us head-to-head. But just for the record, in 83, when we played them for the first time, yes, in fact, we did beat them in 1983 to set the record straight that maybe we were better than Ohio State even back in 81.
Don Patterson joining us in advance of Fry Fest next Friday. Very happy to have the former Iowa offensive coordinator on the program with us. We mentioned you wearing many hats at Iowa. You took over as the offensive coordinator in 1992. But I want to go back to the early 80s. What's your earliest memory of Kirk Ferentz when he joined the staff?
Well, I recall this. We lost an experienced offensive line coach. Coach Clovis Hale went back to Texas. I think his wife was not really that happy in the Midwest. And at that point in time, Coach Fry even stated publicly a time or two, I'm probably going to hire a veteran offensive line coach that may very likely have NFL ties. And lo and behold, in a short time of interviewing, he decided, I'm going to hire Kirk Ferentz. And Kirk would tell you that he was fortunate that he was trained by one of the very best offensive line coaches ever to coach the game, that being Joe Moore, who was a legendary coach at the University of Pittsburgh when they won the national title. Joe actually was Kirk's high school head coach, if you can imagine. So Kirk, even though he was a linebacker, he learned offensive line play from one of the very best. And it was obvious when he interviewed here with us, he may be young, but he knows an awful lot about football. And Kirk did make a difference in our offensive line, even in year one. And that's one of the reasons we were off to Pasadena in the fall of 81.
What do you think it says for the University of Iowa that in 40 years, I should say, they've had three athletic directors and two head football coaches?
Well, it says that someone's making good choices in hiring coaches and ADs, I think. I think it says a lot. It says that we stand for all the right things. We're not going to be caught up in a scandal of one type or another. We're going to do it the right way. It's not going to be easy to win all the time, but that's what we aspire to. Proud to say we've won a lot more games than we've lost in the last 40 years. And Kirk and Coach Fry in particular get great credit for that. So we've done it the right way. Kirk's done it the right way in succeeding Hayden. And certainly Coach Fry did it the right way too. We recruited young men that the fans could be proud of, young men that they would certainly welcome in their own homes. And those young men performed admirably for us. They didn't have the biggest reputations going, but they certainly dedicated themselves to being as good as they could be and to being as good a person as they could be also. And that's what gives you a chance to win. If those young men that you recruit develop into men over their playing careers, then you can bet that a lot of wins are going to follow.
I'm going to name off a member of that 83 staff, and I want you to just give me the first two or three words that come to your mind. Are you willing to do that?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
All right, let's start with Barry Alvarez.
Very, very good motivator, a fiery coach that certainly always had his players ready to play, led by example. He was a great linebacker at Nebraska, of course. He was very, very qualified to coach linebackers, and we had some great linebackers in Barry's years. I'm not surprised that he was successful as a head coach, and I guess that's too many words.
Bill Brazier.
The architect of our defense. Bill certainly understood the game so very thoroughly, was able to teach young people how to play the game with great effectiveness. And I guess the thing that comes to mind, too, Bill was smart enough to never ask our players to do something that they couldn't physically do. That's the mark of a great play caller, is to be able to keep that in mind as the game plays out.
How about Del Miller?
Dedicated, born and raised right here in the state of Iowa, had the difficult job of transitioning from the old staff to the new staff, but did it so very well. Very, very dedicated and hardworking. Worked for many, many years with Coach Snyder at Kansas State, and of course did a great job for us before they left for Kansas State.
About a young kid, graduate assistant, Bob Stoops.
Bob Stoops, first off, he set a great example for our team as the way he played the game. I would call him a gym rat when it relates to football. He thoroughly understood football. His dad was a very accomplished coach back in Youngstown. As tough as any player pound for pound that we ever had. I'm not surprised that he had great success as a head coach, because he certainly knew how to motivate young men, and he got that accomplished very, very well wherever he was.
And how about Bill Snyder? I know we referenced him earlier still. As you put it very eloquently, unable to make it to Fry Fest next Friday because at the age of 78, he's got a game to prepare for. He's still coaching at Kansas State.
He's an amazing man. I've always said when I'm in a public setting at a clinic, a football clinic. I always give credit to two coaches in particular for my development. One of them's obvious, that's Coach Fry. And I usually give credit for Coach Fry in terms of motivational aspects of the game. He was a great motivator, and he taught me a lot about motivation. But when you talk about X's and O's, I give a lot of credit to Bill Snyder. We were ahead of our time at Iowa back in those days. We spread the field, and we threw the ball all over the place, and we did it with great effectiveness. And Bill accomplished incredible things at Kansas State. If there's such a thing as a bigger turnaround than Iowa back in the early 80s, you would have to say it would be Kansas State in the early 90s, I guess. Bill's already in the College Football Hall of Fame and, of course, still coaching. I was down there a couple of weeks ago. He's got just as much enthusiasm for the game as he had 20 or 30 years ago. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. We're going to go down and watch K-State play here this fall, and I'm looking forward to it because he just epitomizes college football. He's as good a head coach as there ever was.
Longtime former Hawkeye assistant Don Patterson with us on the program for just a few more minutes, getting ready for Fry Fest next Friday. Very excited about that. Happy to be back there once again this year. When you look back on your time at Iowa with Hayden Fry, and you were there until the bitter end in 1998, which season do you think was the most disappointing personally for you? Was there a season that to this day you look back on and think, man, what could have been?
I guess the one that bothers me the most would be the last one. You know, it just got progressively tougher to recruit as Coach Fry got older. The rest of the Big Ten schools, of course, suggested they were quick to agree. Yes, he's a great football coach, but do you honestly think he's going to be there for your 4 or 5 years in Iowa City? So it got progressively difficult to recruit. Our last season was a losing season. What a lot of people didn't realize is Coach Fry was in cancer treatment even then. And for that matter, Bobby Elliott was also in cancer treatment at that same time. So we were doing the best we could against a very, very formidable schedule. It's difficult to win all your games. The other team's always just as motivated to win as you are. And it bothers me that Coach Fry had to go out on a losing note. That's not what he deserved. A lot of the fans, I think, at that point were more than willing to make a change. And I think only a few years later did they really thoroughly understand and appreciate the job that he had done for the University of Iowa. I've certainly heard many times since, people are so grateful for what we accomplished back in the 80s. That's still the best decade in Iowa football, modern football history at least. And we have a lot to be proud of. It's difficult to win championships, and we won 3 undisputed. I shouldn't say undisputed. I guess we did tie Ohio State once, but 3 Big Ten championships represented 3 times in the Rose Bowl. And back then, of course, there were not very many bowl games, and yet we went to 14 bowl games in those 20 years. Many, many more bowl games available nowadays. To go to a bowl game back in those days, to be safe, you better be 8-3. 7-4 might not get you a bowl.
What season do you think, looking back on it, would you say was the biggest surprise? Was there one that caught you off guard from a success standpoint?
Well, 81, of course, nobody expected us to win in 81. I think we were picked maybe 7th that year in the league. And, of course, we were able to beat a great Nebraska team here in Kinnick. We went up to Michigan and beat Michigan. We had great defense. We had an incredible kicking game. And we didn't beat ourselves on offense, and that gave us a chance to accomplish what no one expected. But as much as I enjoyed 81, I also thoroughly enjoyed 1990. 1990 was a meaningful season for me. We lost some great coaches in the late 80s. Bill Snyder went off to Kansas State. Bill asked me to go with him, and I said, I will, unless Coach Fry offers me your old job. And the next day, Coach Fry said, Donnie, I want you to take quarterbacks and receivers. And I certainly jumped at that opportunity. 1989, after we lost some outstanding coaches, Dan McCarney, Barry Alvarez, not to mention Bernie Wyatt, and also Bill Snyder, Dale Miller, we had a rare losing season in 1989. But then in 1990, we bounced back all the way to Pasadena again. That was a really meaningful season because no one expected that to happen, 1990 as a Rose Bowl team. I will share this one quick story with you. One of the things I've always shared with people, 1990 was an outstanding season, but believe it or not, 1991 was an even better season record-wise. We were 10-1 that season, and after that season, Coach Fry, I remember, famously said, the smartest thing we did is we never told them that they weren't that good. There's a lot of truth to that. I've always advised coaches, you know, build them up, don't tear them down, because if you can inspire these guys to play better than they could imagine, and that's a lofty goal, but that's always been our goal, inspire them to play better than what they think they can play. If you have the right tools in place in terms of psychology and motivation, you have a chance to get that done. 1991 was also a great season, and we did not go to Pasadena that year. We lost only to Michigan. Michigan, I believe, was unbeaten, and they represented in Pasadena. But still a great season, 10-1. We were off to the Holiday Bowl, and people might remember we actually had a tie ball game, and no one wanted to quit playing. We tied Brigham Young when they had a great quarterback by the name of Detmer, Ty Detmer. But that game was meant to be a tie. Here's a good trivia question for all those BYU fans out there. Who caught Ty Detmer's last college football pass? And the answer is Carlos James, a cornerback from the University of Iowa. That's why the game ended up as a tie, because Carlos intercepted at the end of the game.
Fry Fest next Friday in Iowa City, the 83 coaching staff reuniting, including Don Patterson. I'd be remiss if I did not ask you this before we let you go. Do you have a personal favorite Hayden Fry story? As somebody who was alongside with him so many times, so many private moments, so many public moments, what's your favorite story about the man that this festival is named for next Friday?
Oh, that is a real challenge. You know, one thing that comes to mind for me, and I've shared this with people, to kind of give you an idea of who the man really was. I remember one time in particular, we were recruiting up in Wisconsin. You know, I was responsible for the state of Wisconsin. I had Coach Fry with me. And as you can imagine, we're very, very specific about what kind of time schedule we're on. We're supposed to be at a certain school or a certain home at a certain time. And to complicate matters, of course, sometimes you have to pull off and buy gas. So here I am gassing up, trying to stay on schedule. Coach Fry, in the meantime, goes in to buy a pack of gum. And the next thing I notice is he's standing there talking to the convenience store clerk and talking and talking and talking. And it didn't surprise me, because here's the kind of person Coach Fry was. He always had time for everyone else. And that convenience store clerk had simply recognized him and wanted to have an opportunity to talk to one of the greatest football coaches that ever coached the game. And Coach Fry was not going to cheat him of that opportunity. So they had a conversation that was meaningful. That put us a little behind schedule, but I understood what was going on, and it was certainly okay by me, because that's the kind of man he is. He always had time for other people.
Coach Patterson, it's been an absolute pleasure, and as somebody who grew up in the 80s and 90s, the halcyon days of Hawkeye football and Hayden Fry, thank you for the memories. I really do appreciate it, and I'm sure there are a number of people that are going to be saying the same thing when they see you next Friday. It was a great run.
Thank you, Todd. It's been my pleasure, and if you ever want to do it again, just give me a yell.
All right, that's a scary thing to say. We may take you up on that, Don. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Don Patterson, the former Iowa assistant coach, and you look at the resume, started out at Iowa in 1979 as the assistant defensive backs coach. And by the time he departed, he was not only the offensive coordinator, but also the wide receivers and tight ends coach. And yes, 1998 happened to be my freshman year at the University of Iowa. I remember it all too well. It was not a pleasant run. And that loss to Minnesota to end the season, I remember stopping by the computer lab and logging on to the internet, which back in 1998 wasn't exactly